Let's begin this day with a word of prayer, shall we, at this time together? Gracious God, we thank you for this glorious day to be a part of, and we thank you for those who have walked in your path before us, and for all that they have meant to us. On this day, we are especially thankful for the lives of Rudy and Doris Edmond. Oh Lord, what a blessing they have been to us. What a blessing they have been to you. In Jesus' name, we give thanks this day. Amen. In the year 1962, Rudy and Doris came to Holden Village for the first time, I believe, for about 4 or 5 days, just a short time, wasn't it? And we haven't been able to keep them away ever since. I don't know. You got it. And for a fisherman, that's quite a statement. And today serves two purposes. First of all, today is a day in which we want to honor Rudy and Doris for all they have meant to all of us and to Holden Village. And also today marks a kind of a passing of the torch, of the pickaxe, of the hard hat, of the rock, of the, I don't know. Working the paths here today, but starting next year, Rudy will be the curator emeritus of the Portal Museum here in Holden, and Rick Dunning will become the curator. Now, what that means is that Rudy and Doris are going to continue to come every summer. It's just that Rudy has wanted us to ensure the continuation of the Portal Museum and its importance to the life of Holden, and not knowing how much time they'd be able to spend here at Holden in future days. We decided to make this little kind of transition this year while they're here. Now, Doris has given much to Holden. She was one of those who started, was responsible for the starting of Narnia, and was a teacher for many years in the early years of Holden's life. And I'd like to ask Doris, first of all, to come and share a few words with us about those early years and starting in Narnia and the teaching that you did and anything else, Doris, that you'd like to share with us.
Well, I certainly didn't start Narnia single-handedly. And of course, it wasn't even Narnia then. It was a children's program. And everybody had a part in it who had children here. And we had quite a few faculty wives who had been teachers and knew what it was all about that gave their expertise. And I hate to start naming people because I know I leave people out, but I'll have to mention Gertrude Lundholm and Jane Swihart. Jane Swihart is not with us anymore, but we certainly honor her memory. And everybody who helped had a distinct expertise that they gave to the teaching. At first, it was just a cleanup job in the basement of Narnia. And a rather cold environment, but we hung up pictures and they did some painting and they did sculpturing and whatever was fun down there in the way of arts. And then gradually we moved upstairs and we were given more space. One important space was for the babies, so we had to move in beds. And I really turned that over to the mothers of the babies to decide what they needed and what they would like to have in their nursery. And I had pretty much charge of the 4-year-olds and up. So we had content in our program. Really. You want to know what that content was? It was God's providence. And where else could they learn about God's providence in a more delightful way than here at Holden? Excuse me. And so we took a look at this business of how God provides for all of his living creatures so they can continue living and growing, and including the animals and ourselves and the trees and the natural life around Holden. So we divided our curriculum, if you want to call it that, into five parts. On Monday, we talked about how God provides food. And we did some research out in our immediate environment and found out what the different animals ate, what the birds ate, and how God provided that particular food for them. And on Tuesdays was our water day. And of course, this is the place to study how God gives us water with Railroad Creek and the water wheel. And all of these things we investigated. And then Gene Swihart's husband, Al, would bring in a fish and talk about how the fish, God made fishes so they could breathe in water. And that was Tuesday, water. Then on Wednesday, the sunshine. And we took a look at the flowers and how they reached up toward the sunshine. And Al again came in with a plant, so they could see the roots and the stem and the leaves and the buds and the flower. And then eventually some of the plants had fruit. On Thursday, it was air. And that was the day that we blew balloons and flew kites and watched the trees as they would sway. And one little child said, "Oh, look at the trees, Mrs. Edmund. They're all smiling at us." And that's the way it seemed around here, like everything was smiling at us, including the mountains. And then on Friday, we talked about how God provides a place for people and his living things to rest. And Leo Musil, I remember his contribution there. He took them for a walk, and they found all the little birds' nests and the chipmunk holes, and they talked about where different animals rested and how important it was to have rest. And one of the things we enjoyed doing was taking a nature walk along the fire path, I think that's what they call it. And there we watched for the footprints of the animals. And here again, Jane Swihart came in and with her plaster of Paris, and they made they molded tracks of the different animals and made a display with a sign on each one telling what kind of an animal it was. And well, I can tell you that we as teachers learned a lot more than the children did, because it made us aware of the fact that they were seeing many of these things for the first time. So we too were able to see through their eyes for the first time. And we hope that as they come back, and they're teenagers now, they still appreciate God's providence. I then, of course, I don't want to leave out the extracurriculars like music and drama. We have lots of drama. What is that professor's name maybe they all help. Herb Brokering came in and really enjoyed the drama. I remember we were jumping over imaginary puddles on the table that we studied water. And he got a big kick out of that, so he jumped over a few imaginary puddles too. And it was easy to get people involved in that program because it was fun. But at the same time, the children were learning some basic truths about God and how he He provides for all his creatures. It was Edna Hong I was trying to think of. She was a great one too. She took them on the fire path too, and they dramatized the Bible stories along there. It was ideal because there were a lot of things to sit down on if you needed that kind of a stage. And we would just take a story walk. And whenever they found a place to sit down, they would sit down, and when they were all quiet, then we would tell them a story. That was their reward. And when we got through with that story, we'd go on to another log. And it was just fun the whole time. But at the same time, like I say, we were learning. We were learning. The teachers were learning as well as the children. And we did use people, professors who came in with certain expertise. Rudy talked to them about rocks, and they thought that their names were so funny, and they are. Jackie?
No.
Oh, I thought you had your hand up. I'm a teacher.
So in our collection of Beanie songs are many that Doris had a hand in. We'd like to sing a couple of those.
Yeah, wait for the book.
What?
Wait for the book.
The book?
The piano book.
Oh, the piano book's not here.
No.
Oh, dear.
We have a runner getting it.
Okay, what are you holding up there, Jeannie? That's another one we're going to do here, isn't it? Okay, well, why don't we, we'll do that when the book comes then. And in the meantime, we'll go on, and we want to ask Rudy to share with us something about the beginnings of the Portal Museum and the whole emphasis on geology here at Van Holden. So, Rudy, name some rocks. Right.
Thank you. Well, it's nice to be here and to see all of our friends here with us. We appreciate that. And, this is a wonderful day for Doris and myself. We've thought about this for some time, actually. We've been coming here for 28 years. And we knew that someday we would be wanting to wind this down to some degree and turn it over to others who are younger and more talented and can carry the program on. So that's really the purpose of the day here. Now, the thought, the idea of trying to create something in the way of a preserved record of the Holden story and all that we are part of up here was really a challenge that I guess I kept thinking about over the years. And of course, the idea of a museum was something that was in the back of my mind. I didn't know how in the world can one make a museum, a central place, in a setting such as this? The whole Holden area is a museum per se. And you cannot just build a wall around anything up here and call it a museum. That's not the idea. The idea was to include everything in whatever we decided to do in the way of a museum or preserving the record. So when we first came, I began to collect records of all kinds that were scattered all through the mine area. And we found lots of wonderful information in this very building. Of course, it's not the building that you're in, but you're on the floor of the original assay house. And this was the nerve center of the mind and getting the mind going, and actually the nerve center throughout the time that it was in operation. So we wanted to preserve this site. And it happens that it's on our own patented mineral lease, and we could build a building at this time. And so all of the people who have made contributions of money, particularly over the years, we use that money to build this building, and we own it, and it's on our ground. So that became an important part of it. But we told the architect when we were going to build this building that we wanted to make it inclusive of the entire community that we're surrounded by. So we said, if you're going to build a building, let's have windows so we can see down the valley, see the mill, see all of the activity from here on down. We also want to turn in the other direction and have windows that will allow us to see into the wilderness. Now, we live at a transition point between the wilderness out there and civilization, so to speak, from here on down. From Golden Village on down, we have junk and garbage and all of those things that we wish we didn't have. When you go into the wilderness, there is no such thing as junk. Everything is recycled. And we have a wonderful object lesson here. So we wanted to include that as a part of the museum concept here in the valley. So we consider that window the window to the wilderness. And this, the wilderness, which has been changed by us, and a mine occurred, and it produced a lot of metals, and it produced money, and the mining company was successful. It paid for the buildings you're living in. And then finally, you see, the mining company gave this as a gift. And so now we inherit a wonderful gift. And I just like to center on the thought of a gift. You know, this is a marvelous gift that we enjoy up here. And how to preserve it, you know, it has to be at the top of our agenda. And so we wanted to create in this setting, in this museum, a place where we could record the history of the mine, which made it possible for us to be here. And we wanted the church's history in that wing. Because when the gift came, it came to the Lutherans and to Holden Village Incorporated. And that story we have tried to portray in the next wing. In the center here, we want to centralize on what really is the earth. And you know, in the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Not the earth and the heavens. God created the heavens. We are the part of the heavens that is here. We're on the earth. And we need to know more about the earth. And if we can learn enough about the earth and to love the earth, I think we will do whatever it takes to preserve it. And I have great confidence in the ability, hopefully, God's talent given to people to keep the earth and keep the creation. And so we have an important thing that we do. And that's what the central part of our room is. Here you see the earth in terms of maps and globes and various kinds of displays. And we're trying to relate this to the people who come here. Now, people do come up to the museum, in spite of the fact that it's hard to get here. You know, they do make the effort. They come up. We have programs. And now we're still working on more. Rick is finally working on, I think, the number 50 program. So we have 50 different programs we can put on up here. And to make it intelligible to people as to what the earth has to offer, and so on. So that's kind of what goes on here in this central room. And, you know, I'm thinking, too, that as we think of the future, we need to think of not only this transition that I'm speaking of, but also the carrying on of this program, because thousands of people will come here and follow in our footsteps, and we need to keep that program going and revitalize all along the way. So it's a great day for me to know that we are making the transition to a younger person, well qualified and dedicated. And it's just a real joy, you know, to have somebody to take over. That means I can go fishing more often. Mine height. Well, that's a piece of the ore that outcrops up here on Copper Mountain. It's how Copper Mountain got its name, because there's copper in it. And here is a piece of it. And it comes from 1,400 feet above where we are sitting here. And so you can't just take everybody up there and tell them to back off a piece. Have a piece on your belt. We talk about how you get into the mountain. There are cores, sample of a core in here. And so all that kind of thing is what's there. And you can hang it on your belt and go on from here. The most important thing I want to address is the hammer, which really is the symbol of the curator and what goes on up here. It's how the mining company got into the ore body, you know, literally. And it's simple in some sense, but not entirely, because it was really the pick and the shovel that made the ore body available to humankind. And so this is a symbol that I want to transfer. And I've carried it now for all these years, and I now turn it over to Rick. I have a working hammer of my own, so I can keep this one. And someday maybe it'll wind up in the Portal Museum. You see, it's handed on from time to time and so on. So that's what I want to pass on to you at this time. Plus, you know, all the goodwill of all of these people. You enjoy.
So many ways in which you and Taurus have touch the village and touch the people who are part of it. And in this my apprenticeship summer, I had a chance to tag along on a lot of mine hikes. And one of the things I noticed was, first, the enthusiasm that Rudy always has when he talks about the mine and its history and the geology of the area and the history of the village. The other thing I noticed and always appreciated was the little glint in his eye as he waited for those questions that kind of always anticipated. And kind of skirting around the edges of these mine hike groups and around the bell at coffee break, I overheard a lot of conversations about the museum and about programs that people had been to here and about mine hikes they'd been on. And I was always so impressed with the comments people made about what a great facility this was and what good programs have been presented here and continue to be presented here. It is a marvelous facility, just incredible. And it's Rudy's. Every stage of it, he's lovingly attended to. And this, in some ways, stands not just as a monument to the mine and to the village, but also to Rudy's efforts to carry that story to the next generations of Holden villagers. The other thing I found out about working up here in this museum is it's a lot of work. You spend a lot of hours up here and getting displays ready and preparing programs and answering questions. All of it's fun, all of it's great work, but it takes a lot of energy. And it helps me to see just how much energy Rudy has. I'm grateful to Rudy and to Scott and to the Holden board for their confidence in me in this position. It's a little bit scary, a little bit intimidating. I've been reminded many times what big shoes I have to try and fill. And I guess the way I look at it, Rudy can fill his own shoes. He's got many good mind heights left in him. And I look forward to a long working relationship with Rudy, that this is just the start of. So I, if I had my choice, I think rather than curator, I wish the job title was caretaker, and that I see myself as trying to tend to the facility and to look after the day-to-day details and let Rudy still conduct his mine hikes and still present the same programs that he always has. And I hope that does continue for a long time. I think just to keep this short and simple, I'd like to close with a Bible passage that I know has a lot of meaning to Rudy, among many that do. And interestingly enough, it's one that my father also finds a great deal of meaning in. So. It's a short one. I can't tell you how many times I've heard him quote this passage, at least once a week, I think. From the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing."
Special song that has been written for Rudy and Doris, and that. Eric, are you going to play? And Jeannie, are you going to sing? How's this going to work?
Yeah, come in. It's
all going to
work.
Okay. Song written by Marty Hogan.
Start reading verse 15 that Marty wishes that you could be here.
Of several in the village, the pottery of Cherry, our potter, and the frame of Mike, and I think it's a beautiful remembrance. So, we'll put it on display so you all can see it. Thank you.
Brunel, many of you know in Minneapolis, who composed these lyrics with me. And this was especially a favorite because we did it on the way to Heart Lake and on the way back. He had a little notebook, so every time we thought of a line, he'd put it on my back and he'd write it. And when we got back, we had the song finished except for the last line. And he said, we'll ask Norm Hubble to finish it. He'll think of something. So Norm, right away, we sang it through for him, and he came right through with this eating dust, eating flies. It must have been in August.
How about another one? We'll sing one more. What's another favorite of yours?
Another favorite of mine is, because we giggled so when we made it up, was the Go Take a Walk. 18.
Number 18.
Yeah. And let's make sure we walk it. If we start running, we can't get the words in. That was Carol.
Yay, Carol. Yay, Carol. That's what I was
Sunday, but here at the portal. And so we'd like to invite you all to stay for a moment and have some refreshment and have a chance to personally greet Rudy and Doris. So go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.